phosphorus fertilization and mycorrhizal inoculation for establishing sand-based putting greens. And the presenter is Rebecca Verbeten.
Thank you for that introduction. As he said, my name is Rebecca Verbeten. I'm a master's student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and for the past 2 years, I have been working with Drs. Steyer, Soldat, and Kearns on, this is one of my projects, phosphorus fertilization and mycorrhizal inoculation for establishing sand-based putting greens. Mycorrhizae is the word used to describe the symbiotic association between certain types of fungi and, depending on the source, between 70 and 90% of vascular plants. These fungi are often referred to as arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, or AMF, or vesicular arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, also known as VAM, due to some of the particular structures that they make in association with this interaction. Plants can gain various benefits from this interaction. Among them are nutrient uptake, especially phosphorus, drought resistance, and disease resistance to some root diseases. There are indications from one paper is Allen and Allen in 1990 that colonization can be borderline required for some warm season and prairie turf grass species. Andropogon girardii, or big blue stem, is one of those. And cool season species have also been shown to gain benefit from this interaction. One in very commonly used turf is a landscape turf establishment by Pelletier and Dion in 2004 using a standard lawn mixture. There are many fewer papers that have looked into bent grass and the interaction with VAM. Koski and Gemma, with others, have published a number of papers, mostly in the northeastern United States and a little bit in Canada. Their survey on established greens in 1997 showed that older greens showed greater amounts of colonization and variety of species. So this is probably because of the way many greens are established. A sand-based root zone is put in, which probably does not have very much by way of inoculum, and so over time some inoculum is introduced or is able to grow into the green, and therefore the older greens have more. That's why the establishment we are looking at inoculating. They've also done drought studies and establishment studies in the greenhouse. Harton et al. Also did greenhouse and field studies, also with creeping bent grass. That was in California, but I was not able to find any work with establishment of velvet and VAM or any in the Midwest. Our experimental design was a randomized block strip split plot with three replications and was established at the O.J. Knorr Turfgrass Research Facility in Madison, Wisconsin. There were 2 years of the study. The first was established in the fall of 2009 and the other in the fall of 2010. Our three factors were turf species, phosphorus fertility, and mycorrhizal inoculation. We wanted to look at creeping bent grass versus velvet because there's been a lot of talk lately about potentially using velvet instead of creeping with its being a native species and much lower inputs. But we saw some interesting data with some of the low input. The phosphorus was applied as monopotassium phosphate in the amounts shown. And we used potassium chloride to balance the amount of potassium that was put down. And there. This is an example replication from, I believe, the first year. Our hypothesis was that the fungal interaction with the turf would aid in establishment under low phosphorus conditions. There have been several studies looking at very low and very high phosphorus inhibiting the benefits. So we didn't necessarily hit either major range. And the objectives were to measure root colonization by the fungi and the potential impact on establishment of the putting green turf. The inoculum we used was Microgo Hydro. It's a product from a company called Fungi Perfecti based in Olympia, Washington. This is a mixture of spores from four Glomus species. All are VAM types of fungi. And the nice thing about this inoculum was it was just spores. Many inocula that you can find have some sort of a carrier media, and so this way there was no need for an extra treatment to determine whether the carrier had an effect on the turf as well. Seed was mixed with the inoculum before being planted at a rate of 1.2 pounds per 1,000 square feet for those in turf. And for those not familiar with that, that is approximately 59.5 kilograms per hectare of seed. The plots were, as I said, planted in August of 2009 and August of 2010 and maintained through July 31st of the following year. They are maintained as shown. ET was determined using weather data from the weather station on site, and the nitrogen was applied as granular urea. After sampling, the roots were separated from the soil and stored in 50% ethanol until staining, and they were stained using a trypan blue procedure outlined by Koski and Gemma in their 1989 paper in an equipment setup similar to Kormanik et al. 1980. They used small petri plates sandwiched between clamped screens, and their design, their setup was used to stain hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of forest root samples. 12 well plates were a little easier to deal with, so we went with those. The observations were carried out on four slides. Set up as shown. Three roots on each and four 1 millimeter sections per root, with a total of 48 sections being observed per sample. Data collection overall was a weekly visual percent cover rating and a monthly visual quality on a 1-9 scale. The root samples were collected October 1st of the seeding fall, and then the following May and July. 10 cores of a normal soil core or soil probe were taken per plot. For the results, it's at the same time difficult and easy to analyze zeros. We didn't really see any indication of colonization. So there's not any data for that. But cover, we did see significantly higher cover from the creeping bent grass as opposed to the velvet bent grass in both years. One contributing factor in year one may have been the very cool germination weather we had. We had very, very slow establishment, so the numbers overall for year one are lower in the fall. There was also an interesting phosphorus species interaction that we saw in year one with p-value of 0.078, and the implications for that could be rather interesting considering the creeping velvet dynamic that's kind of going on right now in turf. This graph is the mean percent cover for each of the species and phosphorus combinations, and this is averaged through the entire time of the study. And what's interesting about this is the velvet seemed to respond much more to the phosphorus increase than the creeping bent grass did, in addition to simply all out being much lower percent cover. And I believe much of the talk about velvet bent grass has been the low inputs, especially drought tolerance and lower inputs. But I believe most all, that research has been done on already established stands. And this, if this is not specific just to this year of this study, it could potentially throw a little bit of a loop into the low input. I don't know if claim is the right word, but perhaps label. So it interesting and perhaps worth more looking into a bit further. So overall, as I said, the inoculation didn't consistently show improved establishment. In fact, it didn't really show anything. Perhaps timing of the inoculation played a factor. Since it was only spores, there wasn't really a carrier that could hold the spores up in the top layer of the root zone. If they were washed down by irrigation before plants grew, well, that would be one possible thing. Another, timing of sampling. I don't believe this was a factor, as the Koski and Gemma sample survey, they did sample throughout the year, and they saw evidence of colonization at all times. So increasing throughout the summer, I believe. And another potential is that the VAM interaction is simply not important for establishment in bent grasses. It may confer a benefit later on, but if the plant isn't gaining a benefit, then the interaction simply may not happen. In other species, legumes, for example, under high nitrogen, they won't nodulate, so perhaps not important. Not sure. The phosphorus, again, like I say, was the interesting response that we saw. As I've mentioned, the velvet has been discussed as kind of a replacement for creeping bent grass, and perhaps it's still there's much data to show that it is low input, but perhaps that's after establishment, not before. And with all of the phosphorus regulations becoming more common as surface water quality issues become more prevalent, this could play a factor, because I believe the phosphorus recommendations that we have are based on creeping. And if we want to use velvet bent grass more frequently, then another set of recommendations ought to be established in agronomy and in any other field. Species to species recommendations are determined. Simply because it's bent grass, it's not necessarily the same thing. Again, as I say, if not specific to this study, definitely something worth checking out. So with that, I would like to thank the Robert C. Newman Graduate Fellowship for the first year of support, Ben Pease and his group of undergrads at the NOR for maintenance of the turf, and the rest of the staff for help with equipment and such things. And with that, I can take any questions. Yes.
So when you said there was no colonization, you looked at three roots per sample, and then four sections of those three roots, you did that 12 times. Now, how did that relate to the 10 pores?
The question is basically, where did we get, how did the roots that I looked at relate to the 10 cores that were taken? The 10 cores that were taken, all the roots were taken, were separated out from the soil and put into 50% ethanol for storage. From that, just some of it was arbitrarily, about half a gram was arbitrarily pulled and stained, and from that, the 12 roots that were looked at were taken. And we saw some really strange, we saw some really strange numbers for the year one stuff. I had an undergrad helping me out, and we're re-observing those at the moment. So for year two, though, I believe there were five samples out of the 96 that we saw anything. So I don't know what exactly was going on there, but yeah.
Quick on that,
I did look at, the question is, did we look at a larger number? And there were times, yeah, we started out with that, and there was some other work done with colonization by another graduate student, and they had looked at many, many more. Jim has mentioned to me, but this is what they had come to for variation. They were looking to decrease standard deviation in their counts, and this is what they had come to. So I think that's all. Thank you.